This is Whitney, and you're listening to the JCast on Jabberlog.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ricardo with Jabberlog on the JCast, and this is going to be episode number 20 of Within the Trenches, and it's just another episode of a series of podcast episodes that I'm going to be doing here this week. And I am currently in the lobby area of the Lexington Hotel in Lansing, Michigan, and I'm here for the NINA conference, and everything has been great. I've been attending some awesome classes, learning a lot, meeting a lot of new people, and for this episode, I've got two excellent people that I've met and attended their classes, and this is going to be great for everybody out there, dispatch wise or even just emergency services. You can learn a lot from both of these people. And the first one I had on episode 19, and it's Deanne. She is the assistant director with Tuscola County, and she is also an EMP as well as one of the founding board members with the 911 Wellness Foundation. How's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good.
Good.
and the other person I've got here with us, it's going to be Jim Marshall, and he is also with the 911 Wellness Foundation and also the director of 911 Training Institute. How's it going, sir?
Well, good to be here with you.
All right. Yeah. This is going to be good.
He's rubbing his hands. I'm getting nervous.
Yeah. No, and the classes that I took earlier today, one of them had to do with stress. Now, can you tell me, Jim, really quick, what was the actual name of that class?
Did I present that?
I believe you did.
Oh, okay.
I think I was there.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the first class was moving beyond just understanding stress and its different forms. We have traumatic stress, chronic stress, and then chronic stress response. Mm-hmm. And we've been working on helping dispatchers recognize that the last several years. But really, the big issue that then comes to their heart is, what about my family? What's this been doing to my family,
right,
the stress? So we were exploring the ways that it can play out in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do we do about that in a strategic way? Not just kind of like, well, let's have some nice thoughts here as a 911 family together and then move on.
Mm-hmm.
But really, what can we do to look at specific ways in which it's affecting communication? It's mm-hmm. affecting our relationships, affecting connecting with our families.
Right. You know, right in the beginning of that class, though, one of the funny things that happened, and maybe it was this class or it was the last class, you guys were talking about having 911 husbands or wives or
okay, man.
Work
We're
spouses.
Go there, yeah. Well, yeah, that was really
because,
Deanne's doing.
Yeah, because it was a funny thing, and I think other people would, laugh at the same thing, because I know when I'm at work, I work with my team all the time. I'm like, well, hello, work spouse. How's
right,
it going?
Right. Everybody has a work husband or wife.
Yeah, because
right?
we see them.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean,
yeah,
in general,
okay,
everybody
all
has
right
a work husband or a work wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Jim and I have been working together for so many years now. We co-chair a mm-hmm. work group on 911 stress, and our standard is in the final stages of being
woo-hoo
approved by the National Emergency Number Association.
Yep.
So right,
we've been together a very long time, and we're very kindred spirits. So mm-hmm. I mentioned to him at lunch that instead of him being my work husband, he's my 911 husband.
There you
That's
go.
That's right. It's not at the local PSAP. Not the 911 center, but we've been kind of kindred hanging out for so long.
Right.
And you get to do a little bit of a shorthand in the relationship where you trust the person, you know that they got your back, and you're
right
going to get it done, and you don't need to put a bunch of words together to make it happen.
Exactly.
Kind of like at the console, right?
Exactly.
But it's been, and it's a labor of love. So mm-hmm. we're traveling together in something we really believe and have a heart commitment to. And yeah, so it's
and
kind
because
of
we're so kindred, we share family experiences mm-hmm. as well.
Right.
I haven't had the opportunity to meet Jim's wife yet, but he has met my husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we share a lot of personal information with each other about what's going on with our
right
lives, whether it's good or bad.
Right.
Right.
And so he's just my 911 husband.
Yeah, husband's fine with that. I don't expect a shotgun coming through the door anytime
right
soon.
Right. Right.
Drop under the table. Hurry.
Right.
That ain't happening.
Hide.
Look, just for the record, my wife, Linda, and I have been married for 31 years.
Excellent.
Very happily, without any interruptions of the sort that might be implied by the phrase 911 spouse.
Right.
Okay, right. Exactly.
So, there we go. We've covered that.
You know, one funny thing, though, I had the same situation where I'm at work and I was working so much when I first started in dispatch because we didn't have a lot of people.
Right.
And I would talk about my wife and my son and talk about and talk about and talk about them. Like, where are they? Are they made up? Because
we
haven't seen
them.
Come
on, you don't have any family.
Yeah, I swear it was probably about a year before they even, you know, I brought them up because we were so busy all the time.
Right.
You know, they would have stood there and then, you know, had to leave or something because I didn't have enough time to go and eat lunch with them or anything.
Right.
So that's common for many of us, though.
Yeah.
In the early years for me, they just came, said hi, and left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it wasn't until almost a year that I was working there that, you know, my wife and my son came and they're saying, oh, she's not, you know, made up.
Right.
Like,
right.
Nope,
she's
I did not
real.
Make her up.
Oh my gosh,
fair
she's
for,
real.
It'd be fair for any 911 pro who's in an agency which is, oh, let's see, maybe a little understaffed, mm-hmm. for people to believe that really family life is delusional. There really is no family life.
Right.
And fortunately, most dispatchers make it through that era.
Mm-hmm. Well, and because we spend so much time with our coworkers and in some cases more time with our coworkers than we do our actual families,
mm-hmm.
as I said this afternoon in class, or this morning, I think it mm-hmm. was actually, you become your own family.
Yeah.
Quite a dysfunctional family because of, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but you are your
it's
own
kinda like
family.
Real family, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Family dysfunction, it's kind of like synonymous.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Anyhow.
Right. Isn't dysfunction normal anymore?
Oh, you know, at all, it makes the world go round sometimes,
right.
I guess.
Yeah, normal is just the setting on your washing machine.
That's right.
There you go. That's good. I have to remember that.
That is a good one.
I wish that was my intellectual property, but I stole it.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm going to put that on the blog as a quote, but...
Well, actually, I can cite the name of the book. If you Google it, you won't find it. It's out of print. Therefore, I've done my due diligence. Go ahead.
Nice.
Yeah. Now you can put it on there all you right? want, right?
Yes. Excellent. But, you know, talking about not actually having a, you know, family life and all, that's where the stress and everything comes from. Yeah. Like you were talking and some of the things you were saying really clicked with me. Like it really made me think, you know, this is stuff that my family's been going through as well. You know, being stressed out because, you know, because of me, you know, coming home with work. And sometimes, mm-hmm. like we were talking, you know, you're there, but you're not there.
At home, when
yeah,
you come in
exactly.
from the center, it's like your body's there, but your brain hasn't caught up yet.
Yes, and sometimes it's hard for me to shut off work mode.
Right.
You know, as soon as I get home, and I know I mentioned it in previous podcasts, but as soon as I get home, you know, my wife will be saying something to me, and then at the same time, I'm listening to everything else that's going on, and then I zone right back to her. She's like, oh, were you listening?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Or,
no. I'm busted.
Because your brain is trained to be 20 steps ahead of
exactly. Yeah.
So it's hard to shut it off and be mm-hmm. in the moment.
I heard all I need to hear in 5 seconds. Then, because I felt like I had that, I focused on whatever else was in the room that I thought I had to attend to. Because at work, you're already having to attend to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then your wife busts you like that.
Yeah,
so that was resonating with you as we had that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Jim, that was resonating with everyone.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
You could feel the energy.
Good. You really could.
Yeah, you really hit it there because, like I said, it really made me think. I shot back home and thinking, I really need to stop and ask, you know, what do you need? You know, what can I do to make it better? Like you were saying. And, it made me want to go home and say that to her right away. Yeah.
That's encouraging to hear.
And you should. You should go home and say that to her.
Hi, dispatchers.
One of the things that with my work that I've done with Jim,
mm-hmm.
you know, I go home from work, and for me typically, I don't know why, but I'm always irritated the minute I walk in the door.
Mm-hmm.
I have no clue why, but that's just my mode.
Right.
And so now on my way home, mm-hmm. I have a 20-minute drive. I tell myself, when you walk in the door, be happy.
Right.
Works, it's good.
Works at work.
Good.
Nothing's wrong at home.
Mm-hmm.
At least, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, right. When,
until
in the moment, you're in
speed.
A neutral zone, right?
Exactly.
Before you hear bad news, at least enter
right.
positively.
When you walk in the door, be happy, be in the moment, be present with your family.
Right.
And it's still hard to do. I mean, it's still a work in progress.
Yeah.
Some days I walk in the door, I'm still irritated and crabby.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I try to tell myself every day, you know, be happy when you walk in the door. Because you're happy to see these people, right?
You know, that's right. And here's the thing. One of the things that I'm not comfortable with is if people think in the industry that I'm kind of like the mental health guy coming in. And so I'm talking about 911 as what you guys have to do to deal with all this stress and like as you go home. But the reality is, as a crisis therapist, that same feeling, Deanne, I can't count the days, but I know over the last 26 years, it's like my mind is still tapped out and I still feel the energy drain and I haven't been able to segue with my mind to home. And it's like, okay, it's because I've felt that for so many years and had to deal with that when we're in these sessions now, we're talking about 911, it's like there are few jobs that people are dealing with such hot, fresh, intense trauma drama stuff.
Right.
Amidst the annoying, irritating, frustrating, you know, calls that seem a little stupid, you know, God bless the public, but you know.
God bless them, everyone, because that's why we have a job.
Exactly.
That's what
I say.
I say it every day.
Right. And I'm not judging the public, but I'm saying for you guys to come home as frontline dispatchers and needing to be able to have a way to attend to your own stress, to be able to take those breaths, to be able to say, I did hard work today. This was extremely difficult. What still stands out in my mind that I need to respect was hard. Okay, that call right there when that baby stopped breathing and I realized it was over before the mother did that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what do I do with that before I enter into the house? I need to respect that as a human being, we're not really made to have to handle that kind of stuff. I'm going to take my breaths, I'm going to validate, and now I'm going to say, all right, I've done all I can do for this day. There's got to be a clear transition point, a choice point.
Right.
And then when I walk in the house, I don't feel like I'm Mr. Gumby, stretched from one side now the other. Talking about being irritable, why wouldn't you be irritable?
Right.
Right.
You know,
you're
stretching both directions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there needs to be that intersection between those two where you take that, not just the breath, but have that's awesome
self-talk. That conscious thought.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I really make an attempt to do that. Unfortunately, some days I get home because I'm an administrator. I may only be home an hour, and the next thing you know, I have a page, which I love technology, goes across my cell phone now. Yay!
Oh, yeah. Now you're back
at
work.
That something at work needs to be addressed, and I could still be in the middle of something with home. I have an autistic child, and so, you know, I might be in the middle of dealing with some of her autistic drama, and then work pages me, and I gotta switch that off. Which is, you know, sometimes
what a hat
really
trick that is.
It is sometimes it really is. It is a challenge for me, but you know, you just it's hard to remember, but we just have to live in the moments, because the moments are what you are going to remember in the bad times, and they're what people are going to remember when you're gone.
Very true.
Well, there's actually like two or three huge thoughts packed into that statement. That was a powerful statement. Like, how do we live in the moment right now? Not to get too heavy here, you know, but and we can bring in a joke about 911, you know, like spouses or something, if we wanted to lighten this up, just put a little bit of spice in this. But the reality is, how do you live in the moment? The only way you can do that is to respect that what the moment you just came from was tough and then transition, you know. So I just think that's important because, then you get home and you're actually stacked up double. Now you got stuff coming in from the outside, plus you've got your family demands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, I've taken a call like that, like you mentioned, you know, the infant who's not breathing or anything. And it's hard to go home. And I believe during that time I was working days. So when I got home, it was just after 4:30 in the afternoon. And I walk in the door and my kids are all happy and everything. And I got to put on that smile. And then
bingo.
But my wife is the one who notices I'm faking it.
She picked it up.
Right. And she'll say, well, you know, what's wrong? So then I talk to her about it, but then, you know, she doesn't understand exactly what I'm going through. So, you know, it's hard for her to really relate to me. So that was one of the main reasons why I wanted to do this podcast. I mean, I started it just as a blog to share my experience and so that other people could learn and figure things out and know what we go through. And for me, doing things like this is very therapeutic. And listening to you guys talk, you know, other people listening to it will feel the same way. So,
well, and that's part of why Jim and I wrote a standard so that, or have written a standard that's still in the process of being approved, because we want people to realize that you need to take care of yourself You need to take care of your mental self
right.
and your emotional self in order to still be healthy in everything else you do, not just in the 911 field,
right.
but in your whole life. Mm-hmm. And you know, some of that does come with age, because I'm a little bit older than you. But
well, there's a confident woman who will age herself, you know, in a media experience. That's very good.
But
I wish people could see how you looked at me just now.
I guess I didn't notice that.
Like, you're just like kind of hesitating, and then you said it.
It just is what it is,
exactly.
Right? I mean, I am what I am. So,
but your point was what?
I mean, yeah.
You know, some of it coming with age. I realize now that I have to do more for myself. It's mm-hmm. harder when you're younger because you have children and more demands yeah. on yeah. your time, and you don't have that realization that I have to check out a little bit mm-hmm. to check into me.
Yeah.
You know, my husband and I,
that's
you
know, right.
we
step away for a few
we have
moments.
A motorcycle, we ride our motorcycle. Mm-hmm. We have a fifth wheel, we camp. I have a fifth wheel, and just so your listeners know, I don't camp like a real person. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I saw you've got. You know,
if I don't have all life.
Look,
amenities,
man, if you're at a campsite with Corey encounters, you countertops, you're not camping. Let's just say that.
I call it camping. All right.
Not, you know, he's got a satellite TV and all that.
And this
crap,
is why
whatever.
He is only my 911 husband. Right?
Yeah, I mean, we're not
right.
camping like that.
Round
I'm
one.
You what.
I'm gonna win anyways. You yeah, know, just yeah. like every other wife.
Right.
Ooh, but, is that a challenge?
Some of that does come with age, mm-hmm. And because some of those things are behind you, like your children, you know, they demand a lot of your time.
They right. do.
So as they get older, you start to realize that you can do some things for yourself. And if we had only had those realizations right. in our 20s and 30s when they were little, you know, we'd have had it made, right?
Right.
But yeah. it's not always feasible to do mm-hmm. if you can't get a sitter or... You know, you don't have help at home, then, mm-hmm. then you can't do those things. And I totally understand that because I didn't have any help. Mm-hmm. So some of that stuff just came naturally for me with age. But just for all you people listening out there, you just need to understand that in order to protect your emotional and mental health, you do have to do something for yourself.
I like how you put that check yeah. out to check in. You got
to
spend the time
you have to
out
check
before
out
you can come
to
back
check
in.
Into yourself.
Yeah,
right.
So, that's really, really good.
And it's good for other people to hear this because... Before I was sitting in there listening to everything, I don't take care of myself, you know?
I'm when you're listening today, you're going, oh, crap, I don't take care of myself.
I really never... My wife has told me before, you need to take care of yourself. I'm like, okay, well...
I don't know what that means, but all right.
Yeah, I was like, I'm doing fine, you know? I'm working, I'm going to school, I'm doing... You know, I'm trying to do this show and everything yeah. else, and yeah. everything is fine, but... You know, she's noticing things.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah,
not
yeah,
noticing it. So then when you were talking earlier, Jim, then I started really realizing it.
Ding,
and
ding,
yeah, and I was thinking back to, you know, a few years ago, I was doing an internship with our information services department for web development.
Yeah.
And I was telling somebody else a story yesterday, too. But I would go in at noon and work from noon to 4:00. And then I would work from 5:00 to 5:00 in the morning in dispatch. So I worked that whole time. But I would go to a fast food place. I would order a bunch of food. And of course, as soon as I got up to the window, they're just staring at me like I'm crazy. So, I mean, and actually one time I had to say to him, this has got to last me 12 hours or 16 hours.
Right.
It's like, I'm not going to eat it all now.
Right, right.
But it got to the point where I started getting sick from it.
Yeah.
And I went
yeah.
to the doctor and he's like, well, we need to run some blood tests. And I had high blood pressure and high cholesterol.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely need to start taking care of myself. But, you know, one of the funny things that the doctor said to me was, you know, you really need to get away from the stress at work. I said, do you know what I do?
Yeah, get away from the stress at work. My job is the stress.
Yeah, he says, no, I don't know what you do, but, you know, yeah. try to stay away from it.
Yeah.
I said, I'm a 911 operator. And he goes, oh, well, I guess you can't really do that.
No. Hey, but let's back up.
Actually,
that.
Though, yeah. that's good that that doctor understands that yeah. and acknowledges
absolutely.
That. In my younger years,
yeah, but he got it.
I have chronic migraines. In my younger years, what my doctor told me was that my life was too stressful. So I needed to quit my job, mm-hmm. put my autistic child in a home, divorce my husband, and leave my other two children, and it would all go away.
And the problem Whoa. Is, what's the problem with that? Yeah. Wow.
At least he's come, you know, there's a long way between that.
And he stopped right with, 911, which really says something. You know, there's a little bit of awareness that even though you're not on scene physically, you are psychologically. Not that that guy, the doctor, couldn't put that together. But let's back up because we need to close a sale here with you. I don't mean to, like, steal a role from you here. But what I heard from you there was an unconscious plea, and I don't think you realize that, Ricardo. Your wife is pleading with you as a man she sees as capable of a great amount, but it's like because you're young. Yeah, when we're younger, we abuse our bodies. We just roll, man. Because you're a mission-minded dude, right? Okay, so your wife goes, no, I see things you don't see yet, right? So then you're in my class, then you're going, oh, crap, my wife, she's right.
As always.
Right. I mean, see, we got shared wives like that. My wife, Linda, she sees things, and she's right. And I've learned, you know, you can be stupid and act like she's wrong, but you'll just pay for it later. Yeah. So the quicker I can realize my wife is right, don't rub it in. I'm just saying. I know. The amen comes.
It's time to crawl under the table again.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at here, Ricardo, is I think it's very cool that you heard your wife and then it resonated today. So what are you saying you're going to commit to? We're going to record this. You know, we are being recorded. Oh. What are you saying you want to commit to as a next step? So you talked about maybe... Say to your wife, hey, what do you want to say to your wife?
I'm going to be spending more time. Actually, we had a conversation about this. You know, I told her that now that I'm done with school, I'm going to do my best to, and especially this summer, we're already planning things so that I can leave work at work, and I'm going to try to do my best to do that because I want to be there. You know, the other day I was outside with my kids. I have a 13-year-old. A 9-year-old and a 1.5-year-old daughter.
Oh, my God.
But when I was outside, it was just, you know, my 9-year-old and my son and my daughter.
Yeah.
And we had the fishing pole, and we were just casting.
Yeah.
And it was so nice.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, that's my thing to my wife. Rebecca, that's what we're going to do.
She heard it.
We are going to relax and enjoy the summer.
And sometimes, good for you, Ricardo, sometimes when you check out, you can take your family with you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always have to be alone.
That's really
alone.
True, Deanne.
Right.
That's really true.
I mean, some of it you will have to do alone. Sometimes you have to have alone time. But you can still have quality time with yourself and take your family
along. Anytime you're doing something where you realize in that moment, this is precious. Mm-hmm. I mean, not to be tacky, you know, use a corny phrase, but really, as you realize somehow in the midst of casting with your kids, I'm doing it, man. This is it. This is what it's all about, right?
Yeah.
So that's right.
Great.
That's really good.
We ride our bike, and we have a Harley Ultra Classic, and we ride together. I do have my own license, but I really like to ride because, to me, not only am I getting me time, but I'm getting that connect time with my husband. And, you know, we chat, we just take an easy drive, and you can enjoy the scenery and spend some time together, but I'm still getting me time.
Yeah.
It's dual purpose.
That is very nice. You know, one of the other things that happened when we were casting was that I was telling my son, I said, when you throw it back, you know, hit the button, then let go when you go forward.
This is great. And the timing thing.
So, the timing.
Is your 9-year-old?
So, yes. So
good luck on that,
He kept doing it and kept doing it. I actually got it on video. And my daughter is just standing there looking at him and then looks back at me and she starts laughing. And when he finally got it, he got it really far.
Oh,
so I was
cool.
Like, all right, well done, buddy. Yeah. So then we started, you know, trying to go back and forth to see who could get it further. But every time we did it, we got it in a tree. So it was more of us trying to get it out of the tree.
How fun was that? And
it was
great
cool.
Time.
It was a reward. You cast so far. Now we got to go dig it out of that tree.
Yeah, it was pretty high too. He was all climbing up like a monkey, and it was good. So
you notice this is so cool, Ricardo. Right now, it's like what you wanted us to talk about was kind of moving into this whole deal of what about our families, and when it comes right down to it, when was this that you were doing this?
I was just this past weekend, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
I hope that does really encourage some dispatchers out there. And you know what? 911 leaders, I hope, are also listening to this, to be able to say, you know what? Yeah, you know, not only do I want that, but that's what my heart is about for my kids. And we don't have to think gigantic. It's like in the next week, don't guilt yourself. Like, I haven't spent enough time and I feel horrible. No.
Right.
It's just like in the next week, one small goal, one little thing you want to do. It's like date your daughter or, you know, wrestle with your son, whatever it is.
Right.
Wrestle with all of them.
Yeah.
But do it, right?
That's always fun.
Right. Just be in the moment.
Yeah.
Yes. Being in the moment is always good. One of the other things that the last class that we had, Yeah. It was something that I had never heard of. And to be completely honest, when I heard others talking about EMDR, I thought, seriously, I thought this was EMD, like emergency medical dispatch. Right. But adding an R, I thought it was like a different version or something.
No, you were trying to think, what's that R stand for?
Right. But then I started thinking too, why would Jim be talking about something like that? So
That's not his bag. Like
right. So for those who don't know.
Who does he think he is coming into EMD,
come
right?
Right. Hey, now listen. Go ahead. I've got a comeback for that, but go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, for those who don't know what EMDR is, if you could explain a little bit about that, because this is a huge thing from this class.
It really is, and I hope that, you know, people like, you know, if they're going to, like, dinking around right now and just, you know, sitting at home eating whatever you're eating and kind of half listening, you tune in right now. Hey, you out there. You know, you've got to hear this.
Pay
about
attention.
EMDR, as they say in Boston.
EMDR.
Yeah, EMDR.
There you go. That's right. Listen, it's not EMD with an R like emergency medical dispatch. And I have to say, Deanne, that I passed. I got 100% on my test. I did the class and I took the test and I rocked that thing. And I was so nervous because I have test anxiety. And
I
took it.
I did too.
But I took it because I wanted to understand at least a little bit about what you guys are doing with the protocol. So bottom line is, this ain't that. So what are we talking about? All right. So EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. Don't give up right now. I mean, there's a lot of psychobabble in one phrase. Okay. But what we're talking about is magic, though, that's based on the way the brain heals. Mm-hmm. And somehow Francine Shapiro, the originator of this treatment, discovered and feels grateful that it was kind of dropped in her lap, not through the brilliance of science. You know, a lot of the things like Velcro came out of accidents, right? EMDR came out of out of nowhere. She had a flashback, this lady, in 1986, I think it was. Mm-hmm. She realized that the brain is capable of healing severe trauma by the way that bottom line is bilateral stimulation, right hemisphere, left hemisphere, firing like pistons, and you activate healing in the brain with bilateral stimulation. Now, that sounds dull, but the reality is with eye movements or sensory input, the brain is able, when you do a bunch of very cool things to set up the storyline about people's trauma, the brain can heal. The bottom line is there's treatment for 911 who've been through horrible calls or things earlier in their life that we didn't think was possible. Healing that we thought took years can happen sooner. And yet the big emphasis here, Ricardo, is not on the speed. It's on the freedom that comes from an effective treatment for trauma, depression, other really stinking experiences.
Okay,
and
can
disorders.
I give him the cool part?
Yeah, do it. Yeah, no, oh, wow, okay, like my part
was. Now that the psychobabble stuff sort of,
Cut
sort
through,
of,
cut
blah,
to the
blah,
chase
blah.
As you do, okay.
Okay, this is the cool part, people.
Okay, you want a drum roll?
EMDR is used a lot for the military, for troops who've been in Afghanistan and Iraq. They've used it before, don't get me wrong, but it is really used a lot for our veterans from Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah.
And so, because we are much like soldiers, we are the front line.
That's
right.
This is something that we really need to provide to our front line people.
Thank you, Deanne. That's right. That's the bottom line. And, you know, I got to say this. It wasn't until 3 years ago that the Department of Defense recognized EMDR as being one of the three most potent treatments for PTSD in the world. Prior to that, it wasn't available because they didn't see the evidence yet.
And coincidentally, we've had this conversation. Yeah. My husband, who served in Iraq and has PTSD, 3 years ago started EMDR. Now, I'll be honest, and I have already told Jim this, he didn't love it from the beginning.
Right.
So just because it's going to be available to us now, or should be available to us, you should think about doing this.
Right.
Doesn't mean you're going to fall in love with
it.
You're
not going to dig
it
right away.
You might not fall in love with it the second time. Mm-hmm. My husband had to do it a couple of times before he said, I get it.
Right.
It does help. It doesn't make all your problems go away.
No, that's a very
but
important statement.
It is a coping tool. And
well, it's a healing tool that helps you cope.
Correct. Yeah. Thank you.
That's okay. I mean, because you're saying great things. Because I don't want to suggest, even though it seems magic what it does, it's not a magic pill. Mm-hmm. And it takes courage to go through that and to face the crap that you've traveled through. But it is really unparalleled as a solution to traumatic stress. And the bottom line is, 911 for too many decades was not recognized as being exposed to traumatic stress. So that's what I want your listeners to know. And what they can do if they want more information,
yes,
they can go to 911training.net, www.911training.net. On the far right-hand tab there on that website, it's For Your Health. Scroll down. I've got information about EMDR, a link to the another site where it gives you an incredible amount of fascinating information. Mm-hmm. And then I also have an article there on finding a good therapist where that I can it shows people the questions to ask therapists so they can pick, and they can email me, and I'll help them get bridged to a good therapist as well.
Excellent. Do you have any advice for anyone who, you know, might be suffering from PTSD or anything to seriously go and find somebody for help for EMDR?
Not really. They're on their own. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Everybody was just listening to this and thought, oh, here it comes. Oh, that's messed up.
Yeah, that is messed up, isn't it? That is wrong, Jim. That is so wrong.
Have a nice day. No, no, you're talking to a therapist who's been, come on now. Okay.
No, that was funny. I liked it.
Okay. Well, all right. So your question was, so what about if somebody wants this help?
Right.
What do they do?
Or no, any advice that you would give someone to actually take that step further to get the help.
For those people who are thinking about it, but they haven't gotten up the gumption yet.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the first thing is, imagine you see a capital A in front of you, a big capital A, and on the top of it's a teeter-totter, okay? And that stands for ambivalence. What do I mean is, man, we got mixed feelings about doing the right thing. Part of me wants to do the right thing. I need to deal with the crap that's been in my head because I know it's playing out in my family. I know it's playing out in my marriage. I know it's playing out in me. I fake happy when I'm really depressed. I blow my temper. I stuff crap. I self-medicate. I'm starting to fool around with friendships that aren't good for me because they're over the line. All these things people do, we do when we're struggling because the crap inside is scary. So we have ambivalence. First step then is to respect, I have mixed feelings about whether or not I'm going to get help. All right, no problem. We recognize that that's a challenge. Step two is to say, all right, but all I have to take is one courageous single step. All I have to take is one step into a first session with a good therapist. And like I'm saying, we'll help bridge people to good therapists. And if they follow those web links, they'll find the start of good to some names, and then we'll help qualify those people. Okay, we can't guarantee, but we'll help try to find good choices.
Right.
So then what I get my butt into one session. Just one session. It's scary, yeah. But you know what? You do a lot of scary things in your life. When we were kids, we thought stuff would blow us up. Like we'd explode if we had to face certain things, right?
Yeah.
I would be obliterated. But think about the things you've achieved as an adult that were scary. You can do this, you guys. You can take the step into a first session and sit down with a therapist long enough to realize, you know what? I won't die if I talk about my stuff. Once you make that decision to sit down and talk about your stuff, you survive it and go, I think I could do this a second time. Mm-hmm. And I had somebody come up to me today just to wrap in terms of your question.
Sure.
I had a dispatcher who was waiting very patiently at outside the session until I was done with my presentation today. And she kind of worked her way in very humbly, you know. And I could see she was kind of letting me know she wanted to talk. Mm-hmm. I got done talking with all these people. She came up. She said, all I want you to know is 2 years ago, you helped me feel like I had permission to get help. I'd felt like I shouldn't get help, like I should be strong enough that I don't need it. You helped me have permission. This isn't about me. It's about courage. Mm-hmm. Okay. She said, you helped me have the permission to go get help. I went and got counseling help. The first time it didn't work. The second time it didn't work. But I remembered that I needed to do this. And I ended up with a therapist. That person clicked with me. I can't tell you how much it's helped me the last 2 years. This gal is only 26. But she'd gone through two lifetimes of hell by the time she was 18. And she's making it, man. And it took courage.
And that's important. The other thing I would like the listeners to know is that there are other means of support as well. In replacement of in addition to that. And Jim and I, excuse me, frog in my throat. Jim and I are here as support.
Right.
If people are afraid to take that first step.
Right.
But they are looking for somebody to talk to, a little piece of advice, or just to bounce some ideas off of before they jump in because they're so scared. If it's something that you could take a private message through Within the Trenches on the Facebook and you could give them our email.
I would definitely do that, yes.
I do not have any problem with them contacting either of us to have somebody to talk to. Sometimes peer support helps you take that next step in seeking help.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, and that's where they might confide in me if I've been a trainer for them, but to have a fellow 911 pro that you can be able just to say, did you really do this? Like, I mean, wasn't it stupid? Or like, don't you think I'm weak if I need this? To be able to field that call for Deanne to be able to do that.
I have in private, in my 20 years, especially having been involved with both Nina and APCO, I have talked to many people who have had depressional times. And I don't mean they had depression. I mean they had times where they were more depressed.
Sure.
And they wanted to feel validated about how they, you know, I feel like I didn't handle that correctly. And, you know, now my family's suffering. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with taking help for yourself. And sometimes hearing another peer say,
that's right,
I've been in therapy.
Right.
I myself been in therapy.
Yep.
So to hear somebody say that it's okay to feel the way you do and it's okay to seek help, it can be a huge step in helping them take that next step.
Yeah.
That's great. And
well said.
Yes. And on that note, we are going to wrap up this episode, episode number 20. Thank you very much to the both of you for joining me for this episode.
Thank you, Ricardo.
I think everybody's going to get a lot out of this. So as always, if you have any comments, concerns, questions, or anything, you can always email at the show. It'll be at thejcast@thejabberlog.com or wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @Jabberlog. And later on, this will be posted and it'll be available 24/7 on thejabberlog.com. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to Within the Trenches on the JCast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to thejcast@thejabberlog.com.